Is the morning show Monday morning, the 17th of June. I'm Marcia Meekumber, and we are back with our next guest. Susan Kirsch is here again this morning. She is the founder and CEO of Catalyst for Local Control, a nonprofit grassroots network of community leaders, volunteers, and elected folk dedicated to promoting affordable housing while preserving single-family zoning, the environment, and, of course, reliable infrastructure are really important elements. So, Susan, welcome back to the morning show. It's good to see you again.
Good morning, Marcia. It's nice to see you again.
Morning.
Be back.
So, as we were talking about during the break, we're back. Fire season is unfortunately already going full throttle. We've seen lots of fires in the East Bay already, and going a little bit in the Central Valley. Now we have one west of Healdsburg that is blowing on down. As Fred brought this up, you've brought it up before. A lot of housing planning seemingly doesn't include what we might consider reasonable planning for evacuation for fire needs. And I know that's been a call for you, but there's so many factors out there. What's on your radar today?
Well, just to comment on the fire danger and especially around evacuation routes and what happens as the state is pushing for higher density. Many people know it through the ADU, the accessory dwelling unit laws, where people are able to split their lots and put now four units on what had been a single family unit. And that most of those are being done without a requirement for parking, so people in terms of garages or driveways. So when you just imagine how this push for density is going to be driving increasing the seriousness of fire risk for families in what had been safe communities against fire danger, you know, it's really reprehensible in terms of what the state laws are pushing cities to do to meet these inflated numbers that they call the RENA, the Regional Housing Need Allocation numbers, as mandates. And the further ripple effect of that, that is, you know, creating great discomfort among homeowners, is that insurance companies are canceling policies because the insurance companies, they don't want to take the risk of insuring someone who they know they cannot protect because of the way the density is moving forward.
Yeah.
So it's as if we are living just in very, very peculiar times where elements of common sense are disappearing into abstract thinking, you know, just in almost the worst kind of ways. And it's not just abstract thinking. It's also a failure to really be using what most of us have is some capacity for planning. Even planning a two-week vacation seems to be using greater skills than what some of our legislators are bringing to planning for housing. And just to give you an example of that, I mean, first of all, we know, like, since 2017 or so, there have been over 150 housing bills. And these are the bills that are pushing density because they believe that's what will pencil out for the developers. Or they're pushing what they call ministerial review, which is rubber stamping from the people in the main office, because the developers and investors are being given permission by our legislative action to call the shots on what's happening in our communities. And really, just as a bit of a side, a little different from just housing, but you maybe saw this too, a recent article about CEO pay. And when we think about, we want, you know, greater equity in opportunity for everybody. But this article says, just let me just read a couple of things. CEO major pay jumped 13% in this last pay period, with an average medium pay package for CEOs at $16.3 million annual pay package, that the average worker pay rose 4%. So when we think about gaps and inequity, and we think of what legislators are doing, spending 150 bills to try to address housing, it's like so out of scale to where the real problem of economics is. It says in this article that it would take the average worker 200 years to make what their CEO makes in a single year. So in this realm of just craziness, what we have in the housing bills coming up, you know, without showing, indicating their own lack of planning. So 150 bills over the last couple of years. On Tuesday, the Senate Housing Committee will be hearing 20 housing bills that have made it through the assembly committees and are now coming into the Senate House for consideration. So 20 more bills. Of these bills, many of them are the bills that have to go back to try to fix the things that were never settled and really thought through with critical thinking like you would need for planning a vacation in the first place. So once again, there's housing element law, and I'll come back to that in just a minute. There's density bonus laws that they're passing more than that, than they've already planned. They're doing some more with ADU laws. But to say a thing about this housing element law, there's at least two bills. You know, the numbers, who remember, there's so many numbers, but there's at least two bills, housing element law. This is a part of where a community has to have a general plan, and within their general plan, they have to have an 8-year plan for housing. That's called their housing element. Mm-hmm. The Joint Audit Committee, that's a body that includes both senators and assembly members, requires them to have a majority, a supermajority vote, voted a month ago to do an audit of HCD, the Housing and Community Development's plans around housing elements. And what the appeal letter said is that there are so many inconsistencies and there's been so many complaints from communities about how the state agency is behaving as bullies to communities who have had years of experience, including citizen groups, in planning for the housing element for their community. And that what's happened with the upheaval of the last, you know, since 2017, since the new RENA numbers came out, which are the impossible to meet RENA numbers, the turmoil around housing elements has been horrendous because the state not only is doing like just really poor planning, inflated numbers that aren't based on evidence, they also are threatening communities that if you don't meet these quotas, we will fine you, or we will take away grants from you, or we will punish you by further surveillance and scrutiny and maybe lawsuits if you're not doing, like if you're not participating with us in the craziness that's going on around housing. So if we just start with a premise, like everybody wants housing that is affordable for the pay scale that you have. And then if we look at what's happening with pay scales, based on what I was just referring to in this study of the pay scales are so out of control, and we have no one who's standing up to say, we need to get a handle on the inequity at this, it'll take a worker 200 years to make what the CEO makes in 1 year. That's where we need so much more attention for our legislators with the clout that we wish they had, instead of probably also being under the thumb then of so much money. So anyway, there's a whole bunch of bills coming up on Tuesday. They will probably all sail through because the legislators are saying, well, it's a crisis. We have to do something. They're doing something that they're passing then as unfunded mandates. So they're not providing the support for cities to have evacuation routes. They're not even planning for how is the city going to build all those added sewer lines that you need for that much more sewage in a neighborhood that might suddenly have what had been a single family home is not going to have 4 units on it. So all of that is going on. And then I'll stop there for a minute, just if you have any question or comment, but I can go on then to the next thing that I'd like to talk about, which is the BAFA plan.
Yeah, no, definitely. Just segue into the BAFA plan.
So there's, I mean, and the transition is to say there's really not much that any listener could do now on these bills coming up on Tuesday. You know, you could, you know, it's too late to send in letters. They no longer take phone call comments now that we're out of COVID. So there's not much except that these bills will come around again to the legislative floor for a vote. But there is something that that listeners should be aware of for a vote that'll be coming up in November. There is a group called the Bay Area Housing Finance Authority, or BAFA for the shorthand version of it. So it is a $20 billion measure to collect money in the Bay Area. So Sonoma is a part of that, but the whole, all of the nine counties of the Bay Area. And it'll be set up as a measure where the majority of vote will win. So even if all of Marin County voted against it, or all the majority of people in Sonoma, if the San Jose area and the Palo Alto area, if they all vote for it, we're all in it or not. So it's a $20 billion. I mean, just think about a $20 billion bond measure. In part, that means if you are a senior, you can't claim an exemption from a bond measure. You can claim exemptions from school taxes and library taxes and some things like that. But the bond measure will affect everybody. And the people who are thinking about this BAFA bill are estimating, while it's already a staggering $20 billion measure, by the time they factor in the interest over the 50-year lifespan of the bill, this will really be more like $48 billion, $50 billion. Wow. So listeners will have a chance to vote on this measure. The advocates of affordable housing are saying, oh, this is our chance to build affordable housing. But they are estimating that in this project, it'll be an average of $178,000 per unit to build what they're calling affordable housing. So again, the realm of craziness that we're living in is extraordinary.
Wow.
Staggering.
The stuff they come up with.
The stuff they come up with. So yes. We're probably going to see more and more headlines like the one we had in the Marin Independent Journal just on Saturday. And the headline is, in quotes, extreme Novato housing approved. This is a project that got approved for 56 apartment units, and I think it's a five-story building in a part of town which has nothing taller than two stories right now. And the thing that most rubs people the wrong way is that because of state law, there is no parking that's required for 56 units. Down in the commercial district of town and near the SMART train, which is part of why they don't have to provide parking because it's within a half a mile of a SMART train. But the local businessmen, I mean, including anybody who likes just to be able to find a parking space, are appalled and calling it extreme. And the city council members are quoted as saying, you know, they felt their hands were tied. There's nothing they can do. The state is calling all the shots.
Yep.
So I guess the biggest thing is to say we need more people becoming alert to what's going on in your community. And if there's not already a group working to oppose it and to stand up to it, start the group, have a living room conversation, and get more people engaged in writing letters and going to meetings and understanding that of course we need affordable housing. People agree with that. But the avenues and the strategies that they're using to move us towards affordable housing is really making everyone less safe, less secure, less able to have opportunity to develop efficacy, control into over their own lives. And as you mentioned, people are already spending over $300,000 on rent before they're 30. Like we need to get back to a model, an economic model with greater fairness so that everyone can afford to get into home ownership as a means of building home equity. And the marketing machine that's out there saying settle for rental, rental is better, is not gonna, it does not hold weight in terms of economic models where equity assets, something that could be traded for value, is so important.
Yeah, it's just kind of shocking. Now, one way folks can get involved, if people are just looking to dip their toe in the water and not sure where to go, you can listen in on a weekly Catalyst for Local Control Zoom meeting. They take place at 5 o'clock on
5 o'clock
5 o'clock on
was
Mondays.
night. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for mentioning that, of course. And it's not just to tune in. There are opportunities to speak and share information and network with other people who are on the call from up and down the state. So usually 30 to 40 people on the call. So there's some really great networking opportunities. And to learn about, for example, last week we had representatives from Sausalito. You know, historic Sausalito is dealing with a proposal to build a 9-story building on Bridgeway, the beautiful driveway looking out to the water and looking out to San Francisco. 9 stories. So what happens on a Catalyst call is they were there describing how they're organizing and objecting to this project, raising money, hiring attorneys, doing like environmental review on and finding threatened species that will be destroyed if they move forward with this. And they're a city, they talked about how they've had the view and vista ordinances that have protected them from something as big as a 9-story building coming in. And here's state law saying, too bad. And then saying we need more housing. But this will not, they'll have a couple of units that will be called affordable for someone probably making $150,000.
It's amazing.
Crazy. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And this is KSVY 91.3 FM on the dial, the voice of the valley. We've been talking with Susan Kirsch this morning, the founder and CEO of Catalyst for Local Control. You can find out more about these meetings or perhaps sign up because you need to register first just once to get the Zoom link at catalystca.org so that you can participate, whether or not you're just lurking and listening or you chime in to the overall conversation. You have opportunities for all of that. Susan, thank you so much for your time and your insight this morning.
Thank you, Marcia. I'll see you next month.
You betcha. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.